نعرف وما تعرف. So let's go again from the two dots, about 12 lines from the bottom. Omer Abzeira, Omer Abavol. Omri lo b'masnisa. Tona, Asara, Devarim, Nemru, B'kois, Shel, Bracha. There are 10 halachas, and amidst Hashem, B'li Neda, we will see this in Shulchan Aruch, how this pans out, la'halacha, is this indeed halacha l'maisa? But there are 10 halachas with regard to a kois shel bracha. Number one, ta'un hadocha v'shtifa. It requires hadocha v'shtifa, which essentially means washing. Rashi says the Gemara will explain. Chai, Rashi does not explain anything at the moment. We've seen in the past sugya that the word chai can be translated in different ways. We'll soon see, Mitzvah Hashem. Umole, and the kois has to be full. Kois has to be full. That's halacha of a kois shel bracha. Itur ve'ituf. So itur is like the lashon we said in tefillah this morning, oiter yisrael b'sefara, which sounds like you have to have a head covering. And ituf is a guf covering. One has to be properly clothed. We'll see what that means as well. Noitloi b'shtei yodov. You take the kois to hand with two hands. V'noisnoi b'yamin. But then you place the kois in your right hand. And it is in the right hand that you are holding the kois during the bracha, whether it's brikas hazon or Kiddush, or whatever it may be. Umagbiyoy min akarka tefach, and it should be off the ground. At least a tefach. You remember we saw in Rashi last time that karka means if you are, as it were, reclining on a couch like they used to, so you're very close to the floor. But the same would apply nowadays if the cup is above the height of the table. So then also it should be a tefach off the table height, a tefach off the table height, in order that everyone should see the kois properly. V'noisen einov boy, and one should place one's eyes on the kois. We have to see exactly what that means. Practical terms: if I want to look in a bencher during kiddush, then obviously I can hardly have my eyes on the kois. So those are the 10 things. Again, hadocha, one, shtifa, two, chai umole, that's three and four, itur v'ituf is five and six, noitle b'shtei yodov is seven, noisnoi b'yamin is eight, magbira min akarka tefach is nine, the noisen enov boy is 10. Those are the 10 halachas that pertain to a kois shel bracha. V'yesh oimrim, and some say, af meshagroi b'matana la'anshei beisei. Some say there is an inyan that you should send it as a gift, as it were. You should send it around, you should distribute the wine to anshei beisei. And Rashi says one word, anshei beisei is le'ishtei, to his wife. So we know we do this with regard to kiddush, for example. But the same Shulchan Aruch is referring to every kois shel bracha, Birkas Hamazon, for example, not Avdalah, because Avdalah there's a minig that women do not have the wine. So we will see all of this in the halacha. Number one, which one of these, if any or all, are halacha l'maisa? And number two, are any of them le'ikuva? Or are they all just dinim l'chatchila? That means, for example, if the Gemara says the kois should be full, so what's the halacha if it was not full? If I actually used a kois shel bracha, but the kois was not exactly full. So if it's not full, is that le'ikuva or it's just a din lechatchila? We'll have to see as Hashem in the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Onu ein lonu elo arbo'o bilvad. He says, we, as far as we're concerned, there's only four halachas. You're saying there's 10. Actually, we've been makabel, there's only four. Says the Gemara, which four? Hadocha and Shtifa, Chai and Mole. Now, if you just jump to the bottom line of the Gemara for a moment, the very bottom line of the Gemara, or right at the end of the second last line, actually, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Rishonim Shalu, he said, the early Rabbonim asked, Smoil Mahu Shetusayeya Liyamin. You've told me that you have to have the kos in your right hand whilst you make the bracha. So can your left hand assist in holding the kos? Rashi explains there, for example, it's a very large kos, and therefore it might be a bit cumbersome and heavy. So your left hand wants to give assistance to the right in holding the kos. That was the Shaila, which we're not going to get involved with now. But it's important to note, who is the one posing the question there?
Rabbi Yochanan.
It's Rabbi Yochanan.
What did he say?
Now, surely Rabbi Yochanan himself just told us, go back to the Gemara that we were originally learning. Rabbi Yochanan was the one who told us that there are only four halachas of kosher bracha, and holding the kos in your right hand was not one of them. So of all people, why is Rabbi Yochanan now discussing whether your left hand can support your right? Surely holding the kos in your right hand was never an issue in the first place, according to Rabbi Yochanan, because he only practiced four halachas, and this was not one of them. So look immediately at Tosfos, the second Tosfos on the Amud. Zok Tosfos, Ein Lonu Elo Arbo'o Devorim. Umiyu, however, even though the Gemara initially starts off with 10 halachas, and now Rabbi Yochanan tells us, four, loy mashma de polig Rabbi Yochanan. It is not mashma that Rabbi Yochanan actually argues, ahi de noisnoi liyaminoi, on that halacha that says you should put the kos in your right hand. It's not mashma that he argues with that. How do I know? Kada omri non lekamon, as the Gemara says later on, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Rishoinim Shoalu Mahu Shetusayeya Smoil Liyamin, quote unquote. That's all a quote from the Gemara later on. Mashma Shekein Hoyu Noyagim. It would seem to be that that's what they normally practice, and therefore it was relevant to ask some halachic details, i.e., can your left hand support the right? So it certainly seems to be, says Tosfos, that he's not absolutely arguing with the previous halachas. Maybe he's just telling you order of importance, but he certainly seems to be. The minhag was that they did, in fact, hold the kos in the right hand. Umiyu. We'll see later on in the Gemara also. There were Amoraim who were very particular on the halachas of Itur and Ituf. Now, Itur and Ituf, a head covering and a guf covering, once again, was not on the list of four of Rabbi Yochanan. And yet, once again, we have the Amoraim nonetheless practicing this halacha. Says Tosfos again, therefore, Umiyu. Because since the Amoraim indeed practiced the halachas of Itur and Ituf, mashma shehoyu machmirim al atzmon, it would seem to be that even though Rabbi Yochanan said that only four halachas apply, but it would seem to be that Amoraim were machmir. V'hayu nizharin b'kulam. And they, in fact, were careful with all halachas. Olafichach, says Tosis, I would therefore conclude the same. Yesh lahachmir b'koshal bracha. So it would seem to be that Tosis is telling you that, yes, essentially we pass the like Rabbi Yechanan, but it's only four halachas which are critical. Whether they are likuva or not is a different discussion, but certainly they are important. Nonetheless, the others, it seems to be, the Amoraim indeed were machmir, and therefore we should do the same. So therefore, lechatchila says Tosfos, as a chumrah, when it comes to a koshel bracha, you should also be machmir to hold it in one hand, in the right hand, have itur and ituf. We'll have to see what this means, whether it means a hat and jacket as such, or does it just mean a yarmulke and sleeves? We'll have to see. So let's go back into the Gemara now. The Gemara now goes through the list one by one briefly to explain what they mean. So remember, Rabbi Yochanan said, Hadocha and Shtifa, Mole and Chai. Oh. Says the Gemara, Tana. Hadocha mibefnim. Shtifa mibachutz. So Hadocha and Shtifa, the Gemara explains, is really one process, just it's the washing up of the kois. Just one's in the inside, one's on the outside. Now, look at Tosis immediately. You'll see Tosis, there's two successive Tosis that begin with the word Shtifa. Go to the second one. Shtifa mibachutz. Bahadaka mibafnim. It's got to be washed on the inside, rinsed on the outside. Says Tosis. Upirishri. She'ein ha-kois yofe. That's only if the kois is not yofe. What does that mean, yofe? It's not clean. I.e., she'yesh boy shiurei koises. Shiurei koises means it's got the remnant. Shiurei is from the remnant, like shiraim. It's got in the cup some remnant of some previous usage. That's when the kois indeed has to be washed up. Aval imhu yofe belav hochi. But if the kois is clean anyway, meaning it actually was not washed up, but whoever used it last drank every last drop of the wine, such that the kois is now clean, there's nothing remaining. There is no shiurei koises. Says Tosis, if that's the case, then shapir domin. Then that's absolutely fine. Why is that fine? Deloy bo'inon elo. The only thing we require is shehei kois shel bracha yofe.
Yofe.
Get it to be clean. There's no magic halacha, as in you have to wash it and clean it as if it's some sort of an atilas yodayim or tevil or anything like that. No, it's just a practical halacha, covered for the kois shel bracha, that it should be clean.
Maybe even polished.
Right.
I mean, in other words, if we're going to say yafa, maybe yafa means polished.
Okay, we'll have to see. We'll have to see. Tosis for the moment is only referring to shiurei koisis. Now, presumably, Rabbi Eliyahu David, I can bring a raya to what you're saying, because why would you have to wash the cup on the outside? Surely, if Tosis is concerned about the shiurei koseis remnants, that's going to be on the inside.
Right.
So, l'chayra, if the Gemara says you have to wash up the cup from the outside as well, that l'chayra, I would assume, is not referring to shiraim, rather some sort of dirt or uncleanliness that has attached itself to the outside.
Shiri bekavodik.
Right. So, therefore, if the kos is bekavodik anyway, meaning I haven't washed it up, but it's been used and there's no wine left, so that's considered bekovedik anyway. We'll have to see in Shulchan Aruch. This is very, very, very negeir, I would say. For me personally, for example, it's negeir almost every week. And I'm sure for many people it is. You come home, for example, on Shabbos morning and your wife has already made kiddush. So do you have to wash up the cup again before you now make kiddush, assuming that she has not yet done so? So if she didn't quite finish the wine and there's a bit of wine left, well, obviously you have to get rid of that wine somehow and then wash up the cup. But if all the wine was drunk, do you have to clean the cup? So we'll see this Be'ez Hashem and Shulchan Aruch.
Isn't that one of the reasons where somebody washes the cup before they make kiddush?
It's because of this halacha, correct?
Yeah.
Also, don't we have a halacha of a kos pagum?
So yeah. Kos pagum, yes. Yeah, 100%. So kos pagum, if wine was left over, you have a different issue because of kos pagum. But that's a different subject, that you could be misaking by pouring wine into it. Yeah, that's a whole discussion. Okay, back into the Gemara. Omer Rav Yechanan, on the fourth last white narrow line. Omer Rav Yechanan, kol hamavorech al kois moli. Remember, this was the next halacha, that the kois should be moli. If you do so, you make a bracha on a kois moli, then you get tremendous cha. Nois ninloi nachalo b'li metzorim. And indeed, you will be zeichet to inheritance, meaning, doesn't mean a Yerusha dafka, but you have an estate. Bali Mitzorim, as we know, a Meitzar is a boundary, border. Bali Mitzorim, limitless, meaning if you pour the kois absolutely full and you're showing that I'm not limited, so Mida Kenegan Mida, you'll be zeichet to Nachla Bali Mitzorim. Shenema. Umole Birkas Hashem Yom Doraim Yerosha, which is the Pasuk in Parshas Zeis Habrach. Rabbi Yosi Bechanina Oima, Zoicha V'Noichel Shnei Oilomim. Unbelievable. You will be the worthy inheritor of two worlds. Which two worlds? Ha'ilam Hazeh V'Ha'ilam Habo.
No one says kos mole, we're not talking about causing it to overflow, are we?
Right. So this is a big shaila, la halacha.
Those of us who are mefunakim don't like grape juice or wine on our hands. And I normally pour it just below the top of the kos.
So this is a big question. This is an important halacha. How full is full? And it's a double shaila. Number one, as we've been referring to a number of times, is it le'ikuva? What happens if I've got a kois and I simply do not have enough wine to fill it up to the top? Is that a problem? Number one. Number two, whether it is or isn't, what is the definition of full? Does it literally have to be that it's up to the very top? There's famous shailas of famous stories of Gedolei Yisrael under the chuppah, were very particular that the wedding gown of the bride should not become dirtied with wine. I'm not going to be machmir to keep pouring into the wine some havdalah style, and then chas v'shalom, you've got a chashash that it's going to drip bright red wine all over the colors white dress. By the way, just as an aside, total aside, not related at all, but it's me'inyan le'inyan. They will, not yet, but later on in the year, they will exist in the market be sold wine which has Kedusha Shvius. So this becomes another halachic principle. As we know, the prime halacha of anything that has Kedusha Shvius is as an issa to be mafsid. You can't spoil it in any way. The poskim therefore say, do not use wine that has Kedusha for Havdalah. Because the minhag is, you pour the cup and it flows over. Nobody drinks that wine. So the same would be true, therefore, even on a kosher bracha, if your way is you fill it absolutely up to the top and it's almost impossible that something won't drip, then you shouldn't use Shemitah wine. You know when this is very negea? This is very negea if ever you go to a bris. Whoever's holding the cup of wine is, remember, is standing up, and it's not over a table or a plate normally. Very often you'll see that inevitably if the wine was filled to the top, then there's a few drips and then somebody afterwards has to go scrabbling on the floor to clean the wine that was spilt. But if that's the case, you should not use Shemitah wine. That's what the poskim say.
Also, Leil Seder.
Leil Seder, also the poskim say you should not use Shemitah wine because the minag is, as we know, to take out various drops for the 10 makas, etc., etc. Yeah. Says the Gemara, but clearly, again, we'll have to see in halacha more about this, how full is full. But whatever full is, it's clearly considered very commendable. And etc., etc. Says the Gemara. Itur. What does itur mean? Now, we should really translate the word itur before we explain it. What is actual translation of the word itur? I think itur really means an adornment, I think would be the best translation. Which might be an accurate translation, but it's a bit vague. Because what does that mean, adorn? What do you have to adorn? Do you have to adorn the cup? Do you have to adorn the person holding the cup? What does that mean, adorn? One second. What are you saying? Sorry, just give me a second, please. If you look in the Gemara defines and explains a bit more, what is this itur? Says the Gemara, itur. Rabbi Yehuda ma'at rehu betalmidim. Literally translated means Rav Yehuda adorned the Kaishal Bracha with his disciples. Now, what does that mean? So look at Rashi. It's the fifth bottom line. I know we missed out to Rashi. We'll come back to that. Ma'at Shrehu b'talmidim, says Rashi, Talmidov Seivavim Oisoi. His Talmidim would surround him Kishahu Mavarech as he made the Bracha. So itur, according to this particular interpretation, does not mean that you have to adorn the person making a bracha by wearing a hat or a head covering or anything like that. The very fact that he was surrounded by his talmidim, we know we have a principle, for example, of Baroiv Am Hadras Melech. The mitzvah is performed in the presence of several people. That's considered more mechubad. So that's how Rabbi Yehuda was ma'ater. How was he makayim the halacha of itur? By having his talmidim all gather around when he was making a kashal bracha. However, Rav Chista, says the Gemara, ma'ater elei benatli. There's Rashi benatli kosis. That he used to have the itur, the adornment for the kashal bracha, was not in any way that he got dressed, was not the fact that he had talmidim surrounding him, but he had a number of cups all around. Why is that considered an adornment for the kosher bracha. Maybe in a similar way that, for example, on Seder night, we know we bring all the crockery and all the nice kosos, etc., onto the table, even though you might not actually be using them. But the very fact that they're present is itself a certain kavod. Omer Rav Hanan, Ubechai, Omer Rav Sheshes, Ubebirkas Ha'aretz. Now we're going to miss out those that line because the Rosh removes all of those words from his Girsa. But even if we don't have the Girsa, we still do want to define what does Chai mean. Remember we had Chai. Chai was one of the Tanoim. So look at Rashi, the Rashi that we missed out, Chai. Shemoizgoi b'mayim la'achar shenosnu b'kois chai. We have already learned early on in the parak, quite recently, that the way that wine was made, wine was very, very strong and always needed a meziga. Meziga means it needed to be watered down, it had to be diluted. So when we talk about yayin chai, Yain chai doesn't mean alive wine, rather means wine which has been undiluted and still requires a meziga. It still needs to be diluted. So Rashi says, chai means, shemoizgoi b'mayim, you would dilute it with water when, la'achar shenosnu b'kois chai. After you've put it into the kois, undiluted. So it's considered kovoid for the koishal bracha not to dilute the wine until after it has already entered the kois. It should enter the kois chai, undiluted, and only then you dilute it. Now, one second. Says Tosfos, how do I know that that's the translation? The Gemara doesn't talk about diluting, to the contrary. The Gemara talks about chai. Maybe it means that you're supposed to make the bracha over wine, which is totally undiluted. Says Rashi, that can't be. Avol levorech olov chai. If it would mean make a bracha over it in its undiluted state, says Rashi, that can't be. We have already learned in the Mishnah not so long ago, Ein Mavarchin. To the contrary, you don't make a bracha on wine which is undiluted because it's basically non-drinkable, it's too strong. Therefore, says Rashi, I have no choice. I cannot translate the Gemara simply to say, Chai, make the bracha over undiluted wine. That can't be what it means. Because you have to dilute it. So when the Gemara talks about undiluted wine, it must mean, says Rashi, rather, when you pour the wine into your kois, as it goes in, it should be at the time undiluted. The rest of Rashi will leave for the moment. Go back to the Gemara. We are now on the first very wide line. Ituf. Rav Papa Ma'atev V'yosiv. Rav Papa used to cover his guf and then sit down. V'rav Asi Poris Sudra Al-Resha. Rav Asi, in fact, used to place sudra, like a whole covering or turban, on his head. Maybe the equivalent of what would be today a hat. Which, again, is very important. Lechatchila, should you be wearing a hat for Kiddush? Or, if you're wearing a yarmulke, maybe that would suffice. What's the halacha? We'll see, Mitzashem. Noikloi b'shtei yodov. When you initially lift up the cup, you should take it with two hands. Remember, we said afterwards you then place it in the right, but you should take it to hand with two hands. Noikloi b'shtei yodov. Omer Rav Chinina bar Apapa Maikra. What's the pasuk that you learn this from? Because it says, Su'u Yedeichem Kodesh U'Baruchu Es Hashem. And therefore, if it says, Su'u Yedeichem, two hands, so if it's two hands, therefore the limud is double, Loshon Rabim, that's the way you should take the case. V'noisnoi liyamin, you should then place it into your right hand. And this is the Gemara that we made reference to before. Omer Rav Chiya bar Abba, Omer Rav Yechanan Rishonim Shoalu. By the way, if you look at the very last Rashi on the entire Omer, Ma'atev B'talisoi, it's the place Talasov. Now, the question therefore was posed, and this is what Tosfos referred to before, on the bottom line, Smoil mahu shetasayeya liyamin. We've said that you take the coast with both hands and then you put it in the right, but whilst you're holding it in your right hand, is your left allowed to assist? So if you look at the bottom Tosfos, the very last Tosfos, Tosfos explains what the question means. What is the question exactly? Why would you want to assist? I mean, after all, a kos of wine is not so heavy that you need assistance. Says Tosfos, Smoil, ma'ushatisaye liyamin, bekoisois gedoilois mairi. We're talking about a kos which is very large, such that to hold it single-handedly in the right hand for a while might be difficult. And that's why you might want to lend a hand, meaning with your left hand. Or alternatively, Beresh Chodesh Teves Shechal Liyois B'Shabbos, which is Shehu B'Chanukah. Right? Isn't that the longest benching? You've got Shabbos, so it's Ritzei. It's Hanukkah, so it's Al Hanisim. So if you're benching Koshel Bracha, you're doing Birkas Hamazon, to hold it in your hand for that length of time might be difficult. Or Ibnisuin, or if it comes to a Chasana, where you've got all the Sheva Brachas and everything. Sorry, Lahabarich Birkas Hamazon.
Or if the person holding the coast is maybe older and he has some tremor in his hand and could spill the wine.
So all of those cases where the benching is either long or the benching is heavy, or as you mentioned, it's difficult for him. So that's where the question becomes relevant. Is the left hand allowed to assist the right, says the Gemara? This was an early question, as the Gemara calls it, posed by Rishonim, the early Doiris. So Gemara says on the last line, Omer Abashi, Hoyl v'rishoinim iboi lehu, because the earlier generations posed this question, but v'loi ifshet lehu, but they did not resolve this question. Anan na'aved lechumra. So we should be machmir. What does it mean we should be machmir? Look at the top Rashi. Shaloi tesayeya smoil liyamin. If this is a question that was posed by early generations and they did not give a clear-cut answer, then one should try and be machmir. And you should not be assisting with your left hand to the right hand. Okay.
Now, does that mean that the left hand is supporting the right hand, or is it possibly that with his fingertips of the left hand, he is like basically steadying the kos but not holding it?
Good question. I'm not sure. Maybe we'll see this in the halacha. So, Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, I hope tomorrow or the next day we're going to finish this parak, and then we'll look at some of the Shulchan Aruch, and then we will move on. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach. Okay. Everybody, have a good day. Be well.